Welcome back to Learn Thai with Ling podcast. Today, where we'll be exploring different cultures and unique of perspective on LGBT plus issues, since this month is the Pride Month, and why not talking about it? And I am Anchisa, again, your host today. And today we will be diving into the world of LGBT plus experience in Thailand with a special focus on language, including Lưu language and forbidden words. So let's get started. Thailand is often seen as a haven for LGBT plus individuals with its relatively progressive stand on LGBT plus rights and acceptance. However, it's important to understand the cultural context and how it influenced the experience of LGBT individuals living in the country. And to give us a better understanding, I've invited John Mananda, which is the people in LGBT community in Thailand, to share their insight with us. Welcome, John Mananda.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hello, everyone. Hello, welcome. My name is John, and I'm a part of the Ling team. I proudly identify as a member of LGBT plus community, and I love to share my understanding through the education, advocacy, and raising awareness. And one of my goals is to create a society where everyone is respected and served for who they are.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Ananda, and I'm working as a social media marketer at Ling. And also, I'm one of the part of LGBTQ plus community. So I also want people to accept us as who we are.
Oh, thank you, both of you. I am very glad that you guys joined us today. Let's start by discussing the overall climate for LGBT plus individual in Thailand. How would you describe the level of acceptance and understanding in the country?
I think Thailand has made a significant progress in the term of LGBTQ rights and acceptance. I think in general, the level of acceptance and understanding in Thailand is relatively high, especially like in urban area and among the younger generation. Is our country is considered as a gay friendly country in Southeast Asia. Yeah, right.
I agree that one. So if I had to rate from 1 to 10, I think in Thailand it's around like 8 or even 9, because like everyone is really friendly when among the friends, not your family. Sometimes your family can accept that, but some family also don't really happy with that. But if you have a gay friends or in the LGBTQ plus friend, your family is kind of okay with that.
I think that's
quite funny. I am bisexual myself, and in Thai family, I would say most of the time, the level of acceptance are great, as long as it's not the person or the people in your family, because sometimes we didn't quite take it well for our own family in a way. But I think lately it have been more open than before, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like for me, myself, I'm gay, right? And then my older brother also gay. So from like my family, from my mom's side and my dad's side, just only like me and my brother who is like gay completely. Yeah, but still our family is still really welcome. And I think they will recognize it, like they know. Yeah. And I don't think we have any issue with that. So lucky for us, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And now, do you have any moment like this in your family?
Yeah, I guess. So personally, I never like open up with my mom or my family that I'm gay or I'm lesbian or so. But I think she know from my action.
Yeah, definitely. Because I am friend with Ananda and she never bring boy home. So
never even one.
Damn her mom. I would also suspect that. Okay, she's definitely gay in a way, you know?
Right. So I think even if my mom okay with that, my relatives might not think that way, but that's fine. I don't care.
True, true, completely true. We live our life, we enjoy, and yeah.
That's true, yeah.
And I heard John mention that your brother is also gay, right? Mm-hmm. I am really, really impressed with the law of attraction, because in my family, including cousins, I mean, in my generation, there's no, I mean, nobody's straight here. Like, I am bisexual. My brothers are gay. My niece is bisexual. So it's kind of funny, you know, like people around me are all like gay too, including you too.
Yeah. Everything is gay. Yeah. And another point that I saw, I mean, like a part of our like family, I think if you see in the media, and even though like about like the tourism industry, I think our country is very gay friendly. You may have seen like the event, Thai love, like boy love series, and there are like so many things that like people, they do the marketing for like gay, which is like, I think if we compare to other country, our neighborhood in Southeast Asia is very like different. I recently attend a gay event in Bangkok like 2 months ago, and I noticed like a lot of people apart from Thai people, it has like a significant number of LGBT from our neighborhood, they come to visit Thailand. So I think in the open world, I think Thailand is quite good fit for gay people. Yeah,
that's very interesting, because I studied tourism management too before, and mm-hmm. Say LGBT tour, kind of like tour guide plan and everything, are quite big. So government people, if you heard this, please work something on it. It's the way for us to improve our tourism industry too.
Yeah, and actually I heard that the tourism authority of Thailand, they promote a campaign is called Go Thai Be Free, to like market our country for LGBT people. I think I saw the campaign in, they have like the event in New York like 2 days ago. I saw in on the website they promote this one, so I think they do something for us.
Wow,
sorry,
go on.
Oh, but I think, however, there are still some area that like the acceptance in Thailand and the Phuket is needed. Like, I think the LGBT community in Thailand has not achieved the legal recognition yet. I mean, like, why the same-sex relation are not like criminal, but the same-sex marriage is not available in Thailand yet. So I think that is kind of like sad thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so like, yeah. In terms, like, even people accept us at LGBTQ plus, but in terms of law and everything, you still cannot like work on that. Like, I mean, the government still working on that, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So government, if you listen to this podcast, same-sex marriage, we need that.
We need rights on that.
Yeah, and great news, Thailand just had new election, right? I've also mentioned in my previous episode podcast, which is actually this week that we are also recording this. This political party also working hard on the same-sex marriage, and I really wish that we can have that finally sooner, right?
Yes, hope for the best.
Yeah, hope for the best. Yeah. Anyway, that was very fascinating insights from John Mananda and also me some part. Now let's talk about the Lu language to move to this topic, because Lu language is very, ooh, very interesting for me. I mean, even though I am in the LGBT plus community, I understand what you guys are saying, but I have no idea where it's from and how to speak it properly. So can you please explain what it is and its significance within the LGBT plus community in Thailand?
Yeah, I think this one is quite interesting. I mean, like, I know the Lu language is like a language commonly used within the LGBT community in Thailand, and they use the technique of like swapping or uttering the word to facilitate the communication. Like, it's similar to, how am I going to say, like, spoonism in English? Like, in English, they have the word, like, when you say bunny phone instead of, like, funny phone or belly jean, jelly bean, something like that. I think that the Lu concept is similar. But in the Lu, like, they're going to use, how am I going to say, they're going to alter the syllable level, like the Lu, and place it in front of the syllable of each word. For example, I can give you for example. For example, like the word tao. Maybe you for the Lu language, it will transform by adding the syllable Lu and modify the final consonant and tone and make the word and make of the original word of tao. So it's gonna be Lu Tao. Can you repeat after me?
Lu Tao.
Yes, Lu Tao. And then for the Lu language, they're gonna completely like change the word. It's gonna be Lao Tu. Can you repeat after me again?
Oh.
Lao Tu. Yeah. So the word Tao in Thai, right? You add the word Lu in the font, and then you swap it, and that's all. So if you want to say the word Tao in the Lu language, you have to put the Lu in the font first, Lu Tao, and then you switch it. It's gonna be Lao Tu. So if you want to say the word Tao, you have to say Lao Tu. That's all.
Wow, I've never known the tips before. If I know before, I would have been able to speak to someone else too, because it's so fun. I only know one word, like Lui Sui, which actually
means Sui, right? Yeah.
I know that because I think I listened to the music from Mili called Pakon. Anyone want to hear like a set of phrases, Lu phrases, please feel free to listen to this music. There's a lot in it.
I like the Lu language, but somehow I don't understand anything. I just know some word, like, for example, like the word bai, lai bui.
Like lai bui, bai. Yeah.
Dom, since you are really expert on it, do you have any other example where our listener can learn from it?
I think maybe it's the word of love, like luck, something like that. But I think there are so many gamma rules on it. I think, if I'm not wrong, I think the Lu language where only the word with the initial consonant, if it's like if it stayed at ro rua or lo ling, you have to put like su instead of the syllable when you start it. For example, I think for the word luck, as I mentioned, I think it will be luck su, something like that. So you have to put like su in front of the word lu, something like that. Yeah, it's quite a little bit complicated.
Yeah, if you guys want to learn more about this, please feel free to send me an email and I'll be working hard on it and then get back to you with this topic.
That's cool. Yay.
Yeah, right. Ananda, do you have any thoughts on it?
For Lu language. Right.
Right.
No, I'm not an expert, so.
Yeah, okay. Just to summarize it up, I think it is really fun using this language. I mean, hear people saying it. It's kind of funny, you know, when they put it all together and when the people who are really proficient using it. It's going to be super fast when they're speaking this. So please, guy, learn about it and you'll have fun in joining, right? Yeah. Thank you, John, for the inputs and everything. Now we move into the next topic, forbidden language and words. Language plays a crucial role in shaping societal attitudes, and that includes forbidden language and words. Can you guys tell us more about this concept in Thai culture and its impact on LGBT plus individuals?
Okay, you can go first.
So for me, sometimes when people see your appearance, they will assume that you are some, how to say, that they will identify your gender right away. But sometimes it's not what it looks like. For example, when someone see the woman with the short haircut or some kind of those hairstyle, they will assume that all of them are tomboy, but sometimes it's not. They just like to do, like, they just like the short hair. Something
that, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty big in Thailand because we don't really know a lot of the terms to identify the gender, right? So when we saw a woman with a short hair and then like super short hair and then dressed as a like a man style, like maybe like some pants and then some shirt, you know, looking like a man in a way, we just call them Tom, which is, some people hate it. I would say I have a friend who dressed like that, but she identified herself as lesbian. But people keep calling her Tom, and it just, you know, it just makes her uncomfortable. So I would say please avoid pointing people gender. If you don't know what to refer, just say the normal one, she, her, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I also experienced some of that. So because I am lesbian, and sometimes I look like super straight sometimes. And people always assume me that I'm straight. And sometimes it's frustrating me a little bit, but I still can accept that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, because when you when people ask, like, hey, you have like couple, are you in a relationship? And then Ananda is going to be like, I have a girlfriend. And then people are just going to repeat that, girlfriend?
Yes.
So, like, what's wrong with that? Yes, girlfriend.
Yeah, and I think right now, I think people, I mean, like, if you go into, like, your social media or something like that, right, you might notice that people often put the pronoun in their LinkedIn or Instagram profile. And I think not just only, like, in US, but overall, over the world right now, people start sharing their pronouns. And sometimes it can be intimidating to know how to address them. Like, is it he or is it she? What should I call them? Sometimes people scare of it. Yeah, so I think one thing, especially like if you don't know, my advice is maybe you just simple use their name instead. Yeah, and then maybe I think it's not scared to ask like what pronoun they prefer. I think that's all. Like, just ask. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because like, I know, you know, just don't assume and ask, or either just call the name, you know?
Yeah.
Simple as that, yeah, right. Yeah, that it's clear that language had a significant impact on LGBT plus community. How can we promote inclusivity and understanding through language? What do you guys think?
I think how we can promote, I think maybe is I think it's about the education. Like, we have to educate and raise the awareness about it, like providing education and raise the awareness about like the power of the language and how its impact on each individual and the community. And I think another way is like encourage the discussion, or maybe we can host the workshop to promote about the understanding and like the sensitivity toward the different culture and identity and like some experiences. I think that one thing. And I think another thing is you just have to be like, be mindful about the cultural differences, like be aware of the cultural difference in the community, like the style, the expression, the gesture, or maybe like the gender. Yeah, I think like, because I think we are living this one world, right? But for each area, each country, they are very like, they have like a diverse culture norm to foster about it. So I think you have to be mindful and be open-minded about it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That I totally agree on, like, to be global citizen, you know, we got to accept the different system, everything, you know, just everyone, it's have their own right to be whatever they want, right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, Ananda, anything you want to say?
I think John already said everything I want to say.
Yeah, right, right. But
yeah.
Yeah,
you go. I would like to share one thing. I mean, like, when you mentioned about like the language and about like the culture, I think especially in the like what I experienced or what I faced in the gay community is like, I used the application like a dating app, right? And then I found that like a lot of people, they might use like not a good, how I'm gonna say, use as a language and to identify you or something like that, which is sometimes I feel like sometimes it's not comfortable for me. For example, maybe some people might ask you like, are you a top or are you a bottom? Ask you about like sexual identity or and sexual orientation, which is I don't think is proper to ask. Yeah. And also there are so many slang words that people they use in the dating app, and sometimes I feel like it's not like it's not good. Sometimes it feel like offensive sometimes. For example, like I'm Asian, right? And then maybe I will identify as a bottom, right? And then some people might ask you, are you a rice queen? You know what I mean? Like queen is referred to bottom and rice is referred to Asian. So there are something that is happened to our society right now. So I think, I mean, like some people may feel it's like so-so, but some people don't. So I just want to write this one and just be careful when you using the word. Yeah.
Yeah, right. If you're not really a close friend or, you know the person, it is quite sensitive to use this kind of word. Like also the situation, like sometimes people might keep asking if about a sexual preference. You know, like when they see a gay couple, a lesbian couple, and they are going to be like, are you, who's the top, who's the bottom? Which I find is ridiculous to ask. Like, what do you want to know about that, right?
True.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If you are not close enough, I don't think it's...
Yeah.
Or maybe some people, if they are close, but they still like... I'm gonna say like they still think that this one is their privacy, so yeah, so just maybe don't ask.
yeah.
But for me it's fine, you can ask me.
Sure. No, unless the person is willing to say it first,
then yeah,
I would say yeah, and that work with everything, you know, even straight couple, right?
Yeah, that's true,
right?
I have one thing to say about this.
Yeah.
Like, because in Thailand, we have a lot of, let's say, what we call her. Katheu, yeah. Like, so this word, sometimes it's kind of offensive to call someone that way. So, it's ladyboy.
So, yes.
Ladyboy in Thailand. And sometimes when the tourists come, so they just, there are some bad joke about this. So they say that when you come to Thailand, you have to be careful of the ladyboy, because they are in Thailand. And for me, I found like, why you have to be careful of them? Because that what they are. And it frustrates me sometimes for that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think Sorry.
So like you it better not to call someone that way, like the word gathoi. It's not nice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think maybe because like I think Thailand has a long history about like embracing the gender diversity and like the accepting like non-binary gender identity. And the concept of like the third gender, has been recognized. And I think like maybe plus like the protection of the media, like they're gonna use like the word in the like the funny, the comedy movie, like a toy, lady boy, like they use that word a lot. So that's why like a lot of people use this word to recognize other people and make it common, but not everyone will think like you. So yeah, I couldn't agree more with Ananda.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like sensitive word that only people in the group can use it, because I know that ladyboy and ladyboy can call themselves katoy, but for us, we are not outsider because we are LGBT. But if we are not in the group of friends, or you know, if we don't, I don't think we should say that to people, because they're not gonna be comfortable with it, right? But Thai culture, we smile a lot sometimes. We don't know what to reply to Arnzo, so we just smile
just
back.
Smile
back, like awkwardly smile.
That's true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that pretty a lot of information we are talking about today, right? I'll go into the conclusion. Thank you so much, Ananda and John, for sharing your experience and insight with us today. It's been an enlightening conversation. I really like it. And I hope our listeners have gained a better understanding of LGBT plus in experience in Thailand and the power of language in shaping this experience, right? And to you guys, our listener, thank you for tuning in today for today's episode. I encourage you to continue learning about LGBTQ plus experience in different cultures and the power of language in shaping this experience. And if you have any thoughts or feedback on today's topics or any suggestion for future topics, please feel free to share them with me on our social media channels, LingUp, and or by emailing me at anchisa@lingup.com. I also left my LinkedIn profile in the description box, so feel free, guys, to reach me out. And last, before we left, we end the conversation today, you know, a great society would be to create that. I think we should be respectful to anybody, to anything, to anyone, right? And yeah, that should be it for today's topic. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.